Right now, government and individual actors are storing a bunch of encrypted data, such as messages, passwords, social security numbers, and so on. They do so because they believe they will be able to decrypt the data in the future. My intro was kind of dark, but let's lighten it up a bit. This episode has been inspired by Veritasium's video titled "How Quantum Computers Break the Internet," starting now. And this is definitely a recommendation. People, if you're listening to this, you should also watch the video by Veritasium. It's amazing, a bit more technical. It takes you 25 minutes, but it's definitely worth your time. You can find the link in the description. So we have always been advocates for cybersecurity and good internet hygiene. You can check the previous episodes. We talked about password managers, the use of encrypted communication, and so on. We are both users of 1Password, unfortunately not a sponsor, and we are both using WhatsApp and Signal as primary means of messaging. Yep, not sponsored. But according to Veritasium, we could be in trouble in a couple of years because of a concept: store now, decrypt later. What it means is that current encrypted information could be useful in a couple of years or in a decade or two decades, when it will no longer be secured, as quantum computers will be so powerful and will be able to beat current encryption algorithms. Right now, a computer or a bad actor would need like millions of years to break proper encryption, but quantum computers could be done with it in a couple of minutes. So that would mean that in the future we will be doomed, especially in the light of a bunch of encrypted information being stolen. I guess I'm referring to the episode about LastPass, which we did a couple of episodes ago. But let's not dwell onto this. Let's talk about encryption for a bit. We'll keep it simple, but if you want a more complex explanation, Veritasium's video is the way to go. So let's give some room to our more technical part of the duo. Robert, would you do the honors of explaining this to our listeners and, well, myself?
It comes down to explaining what encryption is to begin with, and it's just a way of scrambling data so only that the authorized parties can understand the information. And if we check in one of the most or two of the most popular encryption standards, which is the AAS, Advanced Encryption Standard, the most popular one used by governments, the military, different types of AAS, and RSA, which is the RIVIST, Shamir Alderman, and I'm sorry if I butchered that. The name will be explained in a little bit when we dive into RSA. And RSA is used for smaller data sets because it's slow. So that's why AAS is mostly used. But let's use RSA for this example. And what are the RSA key and key pairs? As mentioned, RSA stands for the RIVIST Shamir Alderman. The acronym comes from the surnames of Ron RIVIST, Adi Shamir, and Leonard Alderman, who publicly described the algorithm in 1977.
Dude, no way. 1977. That means that the current algorithm that we're using is 45, 46 years old. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, I'm not good with math. That's why we have RSA.
that's actually amazing. That means that we're still, with all the hops in technology, leaps in technology that we have done in the last four decades, we're still using a mathematical concept that was described 46 years ago.
Yeah, you're correct. And the RSA works by generating several different encryption keys. Two of those encryption keys are based on large prime numbers. Some math is done on these prime numbers using a one-way function and a mathematical operation that is easy to perform, but cannot be reversed if the answer and only some of the starting information is known. This gets a shared value, which allows one of the prime numbers and it to be distributed to a public key and one of the numbers to be kept secret and used as the private key. So messages encrypted with the public key can be easily decrypted with the private key, which demonstrates that the person who did holds the private key. This is used for signing messages. And messages encrypted with the public key can be only decrypted with the private key. This allows the encrypted message to be transmitted over unsecured methods. And if you put this into a simple analogy, so it's easier to understand, imagine you have a box. It has a capacity for two locks. and you live in a terrible country where you cannot send anything without it being intercepted, spied on, whatever. And you want to send the box to your friend.
Let's not call it a bad country. We're just using a service that cannot be trusted at the moment.
Sure, that also works. And what you want to do is send this box to Mark. So to your friend Mark, not your enemy. So here's what you do. You put your lock in the box with your gift inside and send it to Mark. And Mark puts his lock and sends the box back to you. And you remove your lock, the box still has Mark's lock, and send it back to him. And he removes the lock and gets the gift. RSA does this with math instead of locks.
Okay, sounds pretty reasonable. And yeah, thank you for the simplified explanation. Helps me a lot. So with the current encryption methods, we could be in trouble in a couple of years, decade, two decades, when quantum computers will be operational. And fortunately, we have heroes who are fighting against that cryptopocalypse. Would that be a word? No. But we have people who are looking for new encryption algorithms that would be quantum resistant. One of those is NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who have proposed a couple of solutions last year, but it was proven that their algorithm was broken a couple of months later in February 23. So far, no luck. The current approach to solving these issues is to develop more complex mathematical problems that are resistant to, although not necessarily proof against, quantum decryption. Such algorithms are described as quantum safe rather than quantum secure. And let's talk about the difference here. If something is safe, it means that it's safe until it's cracked, similar as a physical safe. But secure means that it cannot be cracked by the current, let it be, mathematical means. And here we come to the core of the issue. Any problem based on mathematics could eventually be solved by mathematics. The only limitation that we currently have are resources in terms of computing power and time.
Okay, so we have people working on new cryptography algorithms, but this is not solving the current problem of store now, decrypt later. What can we do in this case?
We can wind our hands, scream and shout and lie down and wait. No, in reality, you cannot do much in terms of future proofing, but you can still practice good hygiene and smart steps in the current time. I'm currently reading a book by Vadim Slavin. It's called Digital Identity and Privacy, Beginner's Guide to the Technology that Governs Our Lives. It's a short book. Everybody should be through it in a couple of hours. I'm in the middle of it, and I can already recommend it, and I will definitely do an Amazon review in a couple of days. I'm predicting 5 stars, but hey, I still have half of the book left. And in the book, I have come across a quote which I want to share right now. It goes like this. What if instead you assume your information is already out there in the bad hands? Guess what? It probably already is. So instead of worrying about this part, focus on managing the risk of someone with malicious intent trying to do something bad with it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when prevention techniques will come in handy. And yep, this one struck home.
I agree. And this, it's really well put. This really also addresses the store now, decrypt later, which we mentioned earlier, which means hackers could have all of your encrypted data right now and they cannot do anything with it. So they just save it and decrypt it in the future when quantum computing or they have enough resources, as Gashper mentioned earlier. And I guess the final question we can ask ourselves is, should you use password managers and encrypted chats and overall practice good hygiene by changing passwords, etc.? Definitely. This is like partially future-proofing yourself, because even if they have your encrypted data, you'll be already changed a couple of times within the next few years. But do not rely on technology as a bulletproof solution.
That's true. I just want to reiterate it with good practices right now, you are safe. But hey, don't do anything stupid, because you never know what will happen in the future. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
Okay, let's wrap it up. People, you know what to do. Thank you for listening and see you in the next one.
The next one. Bye.